If you want to be at the tip of the spear of sports performance, the answer is simple. Simply Faster is your insider's edge to maximize results with the highest quality premier sports equipment in the business. Visit Simply Faster and level up.
What's up, world? It's Ryan Bant again. I was asked a question recently on the internet on a Facebook group, Beyond Track and Field, which is basically about different aspects of, you know, things that we go through as coaches and in life and all that kind of stuff. And I was asked to respond to this idea of minimalist training and barefoot running and those types of things. And if I had any experience with that, not just with some people in the minimalist trend on distance running, specifically the book Born to Run, which is one of the big, you know, books that was a huge proponent of that, where there were some native tribes in the Americas that were very, very successful and rarely ran in major competitions, but it really sparked this minimalist trend. But anyway, let's get into it. So I was asked if I read the book. Yes, I have read the book. And the other question I was asked is, if I've read it, how do I think running in sandals or minimalist shoes would translate to track for shorter distances such as sprints as opposed to long runs in the book? So I have five thoughts on this. Number one, what's the purpose of doing this? Why would we want to train barefoot? What are things that we're trying to accomplish? Okay, number two, we're going to talk about injury prevention. Spoiler alert, that might be one of the reasons why you'd want to train barefoot. Implementation, this is number three. Caution, number four. And then finally, number five, there's some other things to consider when we talk about barefoot training. First of all, what's the big purpose of running barefoot or training barefoot? Well, your feet have all these different articulations of joints, bones, muscles, tendons, connective tissue, nerves. And that's why we have doctors that specifically study the feet, because of the complex nature and structure of the feet and what we're trying to get done. Obviously, as we've moved forward in Western civilized society, shoes have become more built up and robust and protective, which oftentimes, you know, if you believe the philosophy of the minimalist philosophy when it comes to shoe wear, has restricted our ability to move freely and it oftentimes to move normally. We rely way too much on these shoes and we spend most of our day in them. The purpose of barefoot running is kind of getting back to what would be more of our natural movements, allowing the foot to do just what it was intended to do in terms of locomotion, standing, moving forwards, backwards, side to side, jumping up and down, absorbing force, delivering force, and all the other complex jobs that the foot has to do all the time. Chris Corfist, holler out to Chris Corfist, talked oftentimes about how you need to get to the big toe. Well, some runners never actually get that big toe as a part of their sprinting mechanics or running mechanics. And that can be an enormous problem if you are a track and field athlete that you're never delivering off of that big toe. I mean, if you think about it, the big toe is probably one of the strongest joints in your foot. And if you're not using it, that's problematic. You know, and we want to be able to use the entire foot and propel force into the foot to allow the person to run properly. One of the things that I've seen with barefoot running specifically is to allow the person to run where they're not striking heel first. We have a young lady right now who's in our distance program, actually, who is very much a heel first runner. And she strikes that foot like this, the heel being this part of my hand, and then comes over to the toes. She's had a lot of injuries. She said injuries in the foot. Well, of course, because that foot is not landing on the platform that it was intended to. Now, most runners, when you look at it, this is where things get a little funky. People are like, well, wait a second. Pretty much everybody else besides Usain Bolt, who's an elite sprinter, their heel strikes the ground when they run. Correct. They do, other than Usain Bolt and Safa Powell maybe as well. But the reality is that what we're doing is we're wanting to bring that foot down, right? And then, you know, as it comes down, it strikes, and then the heel comes in and contacts. But at that point, when the heel's contacting, the person's already pre-thinking, pulling that toe back up, dorsiflex, and bringing it back over to the next stride. And when you're running barefoot, it is almost next to impossible to cheat your stride. It automatically moves you more to the front of the foot. Now, the other realities that you have to realize when you're barefoot running is it is going to move you to the front of the foot, which for some people who have spent their entire time in tennis shoes and are running barefoot, that's going to be a very unique experience to them. The foot is going to be seeing things it doesn't oftentimes see in an athletic pursuit. I mean, obviously, unless you're a gross individual in the United States, you're probably going to be taking your shoes off when you go to bed and you sleep. And so at some point in the day, you know, your feet are going to get exposed to being on the front side of the foot and having some sort of barefoot or socks, which hopefully, again, you know, maybe take your socks off once in a while as well. One of the things that I want my sprinters to do, even when they are wearing spikes, is I actually like them to run without socks on. Now, I know for comfort level and blisters and things like that, that might not be something that you can recommend for all your sprinters. And especially that's not something you just throw in as you decided to that very day and change up something that you've been doing traditionally or within your program. So obviously you don't want to make a change like that without testing it out in practice, which we'll get to earlier. But what I've found over and over and over again and time again is that by moving into some barefoot work has provided people to kind of figure out things that they wouldn't do through drills or just through running in spikes or in tennis shoes with a big heel, and that it's actually improved people at a much quicker rate than other interventions that we've done in terms of training. For injury prevention, the more fluid your foot can land, number two, by the way, the better off your athlete is going to be. When they're running, they're going to be less likely to be hurt. They're going to be less likely to ride back onto that heel. And the force is going to be delivered correctly. So what you're going to see is when you do implement some barefoot training, that actually these other injuries and these other concerns that athletes have, like shin splints, knee issues, tendon issues, ACL, MCL, all that kind of stuff, those type of injuries, stress fractures, stress reactions, they actually go down as well as the athlete becomes more fluid. Now, this is one of those things when you improve it, it's going to take time to improve. It's going to take time for them to move correctly and do the things that you want to do. Now, just so we're clear, I am not a person that believes in doing this wholesale. And this is something I like to blend in to my training over time, you know, because we want to prevent injuries. We don't want to create them. Let me repeat that. We want to prevent injuries. We don't want to create them. Also, if an athlete already moves really, really well, you might not need to get them into more protocols with bare feet on a regular basis. The other thing, when you're doing some of this stuff, you want to think about not just moving forward barefoot, but you want to move in all directions because, you know, it's been proven that athletes that move forward, backward, side to side, jump up and down, those are the athletes that tend to be hurt the least. So if it's good to go forward barefoot, it's probably also good to go backward barefoot. Number three, how do we implement this? Okay, well, the first thing that you do is we're not going to do any barefoot stuff ever on any kind of hard surface, not even the track. Okay, one of the things that Dan Pat talked to me a lot is he said, you need to move away from the track when you're doing your drills, because a lot of times when you're doing these drills, you're putting these athletes in very abnormal or maybe extreme body positions, and you're asking muscles and tendons and connective tissue and joints to fire or do things that they don't normally do, because it is an exaggeration. You're trying to build, you know, specific strength. You're trying to build dynamic, you know, flexibility and mobility through the athlete, but you're also asking the athlete to propel themselves and put themselves in positions that might be more abnormal than they typically do in the sport with running drills and things like that. So because of that, and we've done this, we've moved most of our drills when we can to the turf, and we've seen an immense amount of reduction in lower leg injuries, whether it's stress fractures, stress reactions, rolled ankles, or things going on in the foot. So that's one of the things that eventually you might want to do, but we don't start there by running drills with bare feet on the turf. What I like to do at the end of practice to start the implementation of barefoot running is I like that to be a part of our cool down. So the athletes take their shoes off. They can't cheat their stride. The foot has to contact more properly, and it almost naturally forces them to do so. And then what we do is we will run decrescendo striders at the end of practice instead of jogging or walking some two or three ugly, you know, laps around the track for a cool down that really doesn't look good. And you guys know who have coached athletes before, at the end of a really hard workout, if you ask an athlete to do that, you're going to find that there are going to be athletes that calves are going to start locking up and cramping up, which I've talked about in previous videos. So I like my athletes to be barefoot and to run on the turf and to go fast for the two intervals at the beginning there and back. And we usually do it across the football field if we have the ability to do that. And we run from one side to the other, and we do that in bare feet. And those are really fast, near a maximum effort. And then the next two are a little bit slower, probably about 80%. The next two are a little bit slower, probably about 70%. And the last two are the slowest, anywhere from 50 to 60%. But when they're barefoot, they're maintaining much better running mechanics. They're impulsing off the ground. And what I mean by that is you're going to see more bounce. You're not going to see as flat of a foot contact. And we want the athletes to be bouncy. We want the athletes to be elastic. Then as we move forward, Tony Holler has stuff where he calls like X factor. So on days where maybe you're not training sprints, but you're doing other things to make people athletic and keep practice interesting and things like that, I have done agility circuits with bare feet. Again, on the turf, around cones, making sure the space is clear with no possibility of things coming out of the ground or whatever it may be. And then we implement that as well. And then later, we will implement drills where we'll do those with bare feet on the turf, up a good grass hill, things like that, again, to continue to strengthen the feet and to open the feet up and to get them stronger. Other things that we'll do a in-place plyometric circuit that also can be used as a cool down to reorganize tissue and to get things kind of firing in the right way and to be more purposeful in developing a powerful, explosive person. But the amplitude of these in-place jumps and movements of side to side, back and forth, speed skater motions, all that kind of stuff is very low amplitude, low impact. But yet we're still trying to train the body to fire, to push, to keep moving properly. So that's something that we'll do, and we'll get the athletes barefoot in that as well so that they're used to firing with these bare feet, jumping off the ground, and again, producing force. Then we might add in circuits of jumping rope at different intervals of time and distance. Again, barefoot, building those things up. In cross country and in track and field with our long sprinters often, and then of course our distance runners, we will do barefoot walks with our ankles and feet in different positions as we're walking through the sand as a strengthening activity for the feet and all those different pads underneath the toes and the tendons and the bones to be strengthened, to be worked, so that foot can become something strong that can even take further, more strong impacts, more funny positions in the foot, so that if that foot ends up being in that situation when it's in competition, it's seen it before, the athlete's seen it before, they can react to it, or their foot's just so much stronger and more rigid. Another thing we'll do is we'll take towels and we'll actually have the athlete pull the towel in with their toes and their feet to move in, again, to strengthen the bottom of the feet. Another thing that we will do is we will take rubber bands and stretchy bands, and we'll force the athlete to spell out the alphabet, which kind of strengthens the ankle. Of course, the ankle's connected to the foot, all that kind of stuff. And we'll have them build up that strength as well through there. And these are things that when you implement these things, it's going to take some time and they're probably going to be actually a little bit sore. So the next day you want to communicate with your athletes, hey, how are your feet feeling after that? Do they feel tired? Do they feel worn out? Do they feel loose, soreness? So that when you go into the next session, you don't blow them up. Cause you know, we're used to getting delayed onset of muscle soreness when we're bench pressing or we're sprinting really hard or we're squatting. But oftentimes we don't think about that when we're moving some of those more minor muscle groups and things like that. So this is going into number four, which is our caution. You want to be very careful with that. And you don't want to get overzealous. You shouldn't be running grass led repeat 200s tempo at 85% with 2 minutes rest on the turf and the grass in barefoot. You probably shouldn't do that. And if you are going to do some of that stuff, if you're doing like hundreds on the minute, or you're doing acceleration runs, which we will do barefoot on a regular basis, and we'll also run some flying 20s and 30s on the turf barefoot, you have to implement those in. So maybe the first time you do it, maybe your first four of your six runs or your eight runs, acceleration runs, excuse me, might be barefoot. Or your first two maximum velocity runs might be barefoot. Now, why do we want to do that? You want to do it first because, again, the athlete is most neurologically fresh. They can handle it. And then you stop them there. No matter how good they look, no matter how organized it looks, no matter how awesome it looks, you cut it off there. Same thing with sprint training. if you're going to ask your sprinter to wear no socks with the spikes, which is about as close to barefoot as you can get in track and field until they start adding in those pads and carbon fiber plates like they've had on those Nike shoes, which are totally like basically legal dope, you know, in a way. Until that happens, having no socks really changes the game in terms of how the athlete is feeling their feet on the ground. I loved the feeling of just running with my shoes with a little bit of baby powder in the shoes so that they don't get sticky and kind of funky, and sprinting as hard as I possibly can with those. But if you're going to do that, again, this is something you're going to need to implement in practice ahead of time. Don't just throw that at the athlete and expect that something that you may think is pretty minor actually can make a radical difference. And the other thing you need to be aware of, if you're running in Texas or you're running in Arizona or New Mexico or even St. Louis on really, really hot days, those athletes' feet could get extraordinarily hot if they're running on that hot surface track without that extra little thin piece of insulation, which is the sock, between them and the track. And if they can't tolerate that heat, and some people cannot, that's not going to be good. And again, that's a situation that you probably don't want to put your athlete in. So maybe you go back to having a real thin set sock that just provides that, just that little bit of heat protection between them and the foot. Now, other things you need to consider: barefoot running and barefoot workouts and barefoot agility is really good. We're on number 5, by the way. But also, there's other places where barefoot activity can be great. You know, in a very controlled setting, you know, some barefoot lifting, squatting, deadlifting, things like that are excellent barefoot. Very good. Again, doing other things, you know, athletically barefoot is fantastic. Playing sand volleyball on a regular basis, that's something that we would love to see our throwers do as a warm-up or a cool-down via sand volleyball. What a fantastic activity, right? Even some of your sprinters could probably do that as well, and they're being athletic, and they're pushing off the sand, and they're at bare feet, and that's something you can implement that would make things really fun and make things really enjoyable as part of your warm-up, or maybe even part of a, you know, an X-factor practice day. You know, Hoover ball, if you've ever looked that up with sand courts, would be an amazing strength and power activity that would be really fun for your athletes to do. But in the weight room, barefoot is something that's controlled setting with professionals around, mature athletes and a trainer and a strength coach and people like that. That's something you can do, and it can really help. A long time ago in 2007, the fall of, when we had one of our 3 state finalist football teams and I was a strength and conditioning coach, for them, that was something we did on a regular basis when we squatted and we deadlifted, because we want that foot to be in complete control of that weight and have to deal with that weight on its own without the shoe being the helpful factor in providing some sort of structural scaffolding to it to be supportive. And again, it's something that the athletes can get a ton out of with being barefoot, where you're not picking the feet up and moving them down with weights and things like that. They're pretty locked in, you know, and so that's something that we would use on a regular basis with barefoot work. But most importantly, if you're going to do some barefoot work, it has to be done in moderation. Also, you need to make sure that your athletes can take care of their feet. I mean, that's something that's really crazy, but like, athletes don't take care of their nails. It would be good to maybe give them a crash course on how to tie their shoes, how to put their socks on right, how to keep their feet clean, little things like that. When we're worried about all this other stuff, you know, how do you train with bare feet or not? Well, how are they just taking care of their feet are things that you need to consider and to be aware of. One of the best things that we've done in our program is with Kelly Starlet. Shout outs to Kelly Starlet. He's got his book, Becoming a Supple Leopard, which he provides picture of all these different things that you can do. So like, probably every one of your athletes probably needs a baseball, golf ball, and a lacrosse ball to be able to maintain kind of keeping their feet open and doing some of that self-care work through pressure and pushing and things like that, kind of self-massage with a lacrosse ball at home, and have some activities that they can do to make sure that their feet feel great. Because one of the things that we want to do is make sure that the one thing that's always going to be in contact with the ground for track and field and is going to be absorbing and delivering force, that needs to be protected and ready to go for your athletes. Well, I hope this answer helps you out a lot in terms of what you guys are looking for barefoot training and things. Absolutely something you can do with sprints, acceleration runs, maximum velocity runs, decrescendo cool down runs, in-place low amplitude plyometrics in the weight room where you're pushing off the ground with bilateral support of a squat or a deadlift are all awesome things that you can do to strengthen and open up those feet. We want to get to the big toe. We want athletes not to strike heel first. We want them to get to the midfoot, especially when they're running faster. The faster you're running, the more in the front of the foot you're going to be striking onto the ground. The slower you go, the more the foot is entirely in contact and flat, and even maybe at times it looks like it's heel striking. But that's not what we're doing in track and field. In track and field, we're running really fast, so it's going to be into the front of the feet for sure. Thanks again. If you guys got any other comments, questions, concerns, things you guys want me to talk about, things you're curious about that you just want me to wax philosophical about, give me a holler. Until next time, guys, hope to see you guys soon. Love you guys. Peace out.